All right, so I was saying that your heart is like a magnet. Okay, and what it does is that depending on the kind of... Now, I use magnet now to mean something that attracts something. What you attract depends on the kind of thing that's inside your heart. Do you follow me? And that subconsciously, you see, you have things in your heart that are not yet manifesting on the surface. That's why... You know, I was going to say something very funny, but I shouldn't say it. I'll tell you later, okay? Now, it's when you're under pressure that what's inside your heart really manifests. Do you get my point? In fact, that's why the Bible said that, see, if you find a fool, as long as he doesn't talk, you will think he's wise. You understand what I'm saying? He said, a fool, even when he keeps silent, is considered wise. But then when you put pressure on him to talk, and he opens his mouth, all his folly will come out. And your heart is also like that. Even if it's an ignorant heart, as long as there is no pressure or circumstance upon it to express what is inside, what will happen is that it will be considered a good heart. But that does not change the magnetic and the attractive characteristics of the heart. There are people who, you know, I read a book long ago. They said a man is a compulsive loser. And I wondered, how can a man be a compulsive loser? That you don't understand, this man always loses. And, you know, I was very young, it was a novel, but I wondered what it meant, but I never forgot the word. He said the man was a gambler, but that he does not ever win. But he keeps gambling, and keeps gambling. He was a compulsive gambler and a compulsive loser. He always lost, never won. Most gamblers are like that. That's why they are gamblers anyway. If they were not gamblers, all right? If they were not compulsive losers, they would have found something else to do than gambling. Because gambling, actually, it's clear that you will lose eventually. Because if you don't lose, how will the person who's running the casino make money? Do you understand my point? Okay, that's by the way. So I'm saying that deep inside this man's heart, he always loses. Though on the surface, he thinks that he wants to win. But again, let me not spend too much time explaining that further because we have discussed in the past. What God wants to do, which is with the emphasis we have been on since last week, is that what he's doing, that's a better word, don't you think so? What God is doing is tuning your heart to the place where you can receive what he wants to give to you. Do you get the point I am making? Because you see, there are people who will sit there and say, God, give me, like maybe God appears and says, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. And God say, and the person says, God, give me $100 million. God could give you $100 million, but he knows that you can't handle it. That if I give you $100 million, you are certain to die. You know, you get my point? Certainly. That your life has ended. I have looked at your heart. Throwing $100 million on somebody that has never seen 10,000 that I put together is equivalent to shooting the person straight in the heart. So you see, people are praying every day. They want something. They want money. They want this. But God said you don't have the capacity to receive it. But for you that's listening to me, that God has decided that you have to have it anyway. There was one thing Pastor Paul said, and I couldn't get the quote well, but I was really impressed by that statement. He said that you, like, if you're a blessed person, like I can't remember for sure what he said, but you have to believe God. And that, this is where I remember, even if you don't believe him, he will not leave you alone until you do. Now, I said, this is the word of God. Listen, he will not give it to you until you believe. But he won't leave you alone until you believe. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That listen, I want to give you this, but you need a particular heart capacity to receive it. I won't leave you alone until you receive that capacity of heart. And that's my emphasis to you today. There is what the Bible calls what I call the principle of the due season, or the third day, in which you make a preparation for something to happen on the third day. God told Moses, go and tell the children of Israel, let them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow, because on the third day I will come. Listen, if you don't sanctify yourself on that first and second day, the third day will never arrive. Let me explain something to you. When the Bible uses the word day, it's a figurative speech, that is a figurative expression. Day is not always a 24-hour period with God. Do you follow my point? The Bible will talk about the day of salvation. The day of salvation is not 21st of September 2004, because 22nd of September is also a day of salvation. Yesterday was a day of salvation, but that's when we are looking at days in the 24-hour period. Really, days refers to season. Do you follow the point I'm making? Days refers to season. When it says, give us this day our daily bread, there is a word that God will feed you for a season in your life. No, so we're talking about days, therefore. There is a season in which God is preparing you for something that he wants to unleash upon you. Last time we read from Isaiah chapter 40, and we saw that God said that if you make low the mountains and lift up the valleys, that the glory of God will automatically be revealed. You don't have to pray for it. Now, what I want us to get clear is that until everything is put together, that day of the release of God's glory will never come. Listen, God really is not interested in days, physical days, as in time, when you're talking about time, months, weeks, you know, minutes, hours, and days. That's not what he's counting. God is not waiting till you become maybe 40 years old before he breaks forth upon you with something. What God is actually waiting for is the day that you will be fully prepared for what he wants to do in your life. Do you understand the point I'm making? You see, because we have taken so much time today, and I don't want this discussion to spill beyond today. I won't read so much some of the scriptures I wanted to read to us to explain some of these things. But I will just go ahead and talk and make references to those scriptures. Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay. Now, I was saying, maybe I'll read one and that would be good. Let me read from a simple translation so that, or let me read the one we use normally. Daniel chapter 4. We read it last time. God will keep on working on you until you get to that point where you will, where your heart to be ready. The first and the most important way by which God deals with you in your heart so that you can be ready, can you remember how? It's by words. Do you follow me? God begins to teach you. He will be telling you something. Listen, this is not how to do it. When you are angry, don't do this. When you have money, don't pervert justice. He keeps on telling you things. And listen, most of the things that are inside your heart really get me, you don't know it. I keep on saying this. The only thing you can do is to keep learning. Did you hear me? The only thing you can do is to keep learning. Don't even try to see what is inside your heart per se. Leave that assignment to God. Tell God every day, test me, search me, check what is inside my heart. Now, God will keep on, in line with what is inside your heart, God will keep on dealing with you. When I say dealing with you now, first dealings is that he's by words. He keeps talking to you. If you go and read the discussion that Elihu had with Job, he said that God speaks once, second time. He says he speaks in many words, but men don't hear. What is he trying to do? He's trying to turn the heart of man away from destruction. God keeps talking. God keeps talking, but men don't hear. What I'm saying is this. God will keep talking. If you have ears, it is good that you hear. So Jesus will say, he that has ears, let him hear. John will say, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That is, as a child of God, you need to have a learning heart, a hearing heart, an obedient heart ready to learn the word of God. Do you follow me? But again, like I said earlier, that is not my emphasis today. We have talked about that in the past. That what we have been doing by all these words is to learn. But there is a second kind of teaching that God takes us through. Again, he uses words, except that those words don't make sense until you have passed through certain experiences. That's why the Englishman will say experience is the best teacher. Not really. Experience is not the best teacher. Instruction is the best teacher. Because before you say something is the best, you have to weigh many factors. You understand my point? After weighing everything, you find out that the best form of teaching is what? Instruction. Go and read the Proverbs chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 7, 8. You will find out that the emphasis was always on what? My son, attend to my words. Heed instructions and be wise. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do you follow me? But a point comes. Listen, we are human beings. When I say human beings, David said it like this. He is mindful that we are but flesh. That is, there are certain things you have learned all your life that words alone, even when spoken by God directly, can never change your mind. Did you hear what I said? You know, some of us think that God can do anything. You see, I always try to get us to understand that thing. There is a limit to what God can do when it comes to people. The way God has ordained it is that in individuals' lives, there is an extent to which he can go except they cooperate. Do you follow me? So Jesus wanted to speak at the time. I think maybe we should read that. If you read that, I think Matthew chapter 16. Well, I'll just quote a few scriptures. You can read it. Write the scriptures down there. I'll quote them. Matthew 16, verse 21. Now, just write the scriptures down. Then Luke 9, 45. Then Luke 24, from 13 to 27. If you also read Luke chapter 18, 31 to 34. And then around Luke chapter 9. Okay, no, I refer to Luke 9:45. Now, there's a reason why I just quoted those scriptures, because I'll just be seeing things from them without reading them, so that you know where they are, because I believe that some of the things I will be saying will appear funny, but if you read here from your Bible, you will see that what I'm saying is clear from the Word of God. All right? One of the things that Jesus said is that there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Have you ever heard that before? All right. He said, but the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will lead into all truth. Listen, it is not because the Holy Spirit is a better teacher. No. At all. No. Holy Spirit is not a better teacher than the physically present Jesus. You have to understand this. Somebody you can see that's telling you something is better than somebody you cannot see that's telling you something. Do you follow? Jesus, if you want to even rate it, was probably a better teacher than the Holy Spirit. If you're talking about the usage of words, because He had one advantage. He was physically present. But He said, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them. Listen, there are things that God would love to tell you, but it cannot enter your heart. So how does He go about it? Now, this one we have to read. Although I quoted it, Luke chapter 24. No, again, there's no point reading it for time's sake. But if you go to that Luke 24, you find out that after the death of Jesus and His resurrection, there were some of the disciples that were going out one night. They were going out towards a town called Emmaus. And then Jesus joined them on the way, from verse 13, two of them. And then they were talking, and Jesus said, what are you talking about? He said, are you the only one that does not know what has been going on around? They didn't know He was the one. So He told them, so they now told Him what happened to Him. You understand my point? They told Him what happened to Him. And He now began to explain to them what happened. But notice what He did. He took them, if you read from verse 27, He began from Genesis and went through to Malachi. The Bible says that, the Bible uses the word Moses and the prophets. He was showing them the things that had just happened. Do you follow me? Before, if you read all the references I gave you, you will see there was a time he began to tell them, I am going to die. A lot of them were looking at Him like, what are you talking about? Die where? When He spoke to Peter, you know, after Peter said that you are the Son of the Living God, He now began from that time, the Bible says, to teach them the things that are going to happen when He goes to Jerusalem. The moment He started, Jesus said, come, if it's a joke, stop it now. He said, it must never happen. That's when He told him, get behind me, Satan, because you are not seeking the things of God. Do you understand the point I'm making? However, what I'm going to say, you will see that those references I gave you, go and read them. You find that every time what was happening, that He tried to explain to them what was going to happen in His death in Jerusalem, but they were not able to hear it. What I'm saying, is it making sense? Then, let's get back to this issue of Emmaus. They saw the things happen. You have to understand how surprised they must have been, because several times, about, I forgot the number of times, they attempted to kill Him. He will make a statement. They say, blaspheme. They will lead Him to the brow of the hill. The Bible says, He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. Look, even when they came to carry Him that night, remember what happened. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, see, here I am. What did they do? Can you remember? They all fell backwards. They rose up again. He said, you boys, come closer. Who is it that you want? He said, Jesus. And I said, look at me here. Then they fell down. Come now. You said you wanted who? Jesus of Nazareth. After that had happened a few times, He now released Himself. Why? He said, because, He said, the prince of this world comes, but He has nothing in me. He said, but so that the world will know that I love the Father. All right? I laid down my life by myself. Nobody's taking it away from me. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, but the disciples did not understand this. But they saw this same Jesus that raised the dead again and again. Opened the eyes of the blind. You know, raised the crippled one. Gave them their straight legs back. Come on, somebody killed him. And they said, it must be breakdance. He's just joking. Somebody arrested, they beat him. Peter said, if you were Peter, you would deny Jesus 17 times. How many times? 3 times. Come on. You would deny Him because you can't get it. But this is not the Jesus that I know. You are related to this. No, not this one. This particular one. This is a weak one. The one I know is very powerful. Nobody can touch Him like this. I like one joke one man of God cracked once. He said, when Peter saw, Mark chapter 11, that the tree that Jesus cursed had died, he said, he turned to Jesus and said, Babake Anisha, you, which means that our God, may we not offend you. So you won't curse us like this. That was the Jesus they knew. Then suddenly, this is a joke. He died. Ah, this must be a joke. They brought the best body down. I watched one film once. I didn't know I was emotional until that day. Jesus of Nazareth, one of those many Jesuses, you know. And when they brought him down, all the women were crying. I was not moved. I thought I was a hard man. Until I saw John bend his head on his hand like this and began to weep. Then suddenly God opened my eyes to see why this man is weeping. His whole life had just come to an end. Look, I don't cry for dead people. You know why? They have died and have gone to rest. It's those who are alive that I worry about. Get my point? This guy built all his life around this person. So when they brought him down, the guy said, true, this guy don't mind. Hey, you must be kidding me. Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? They were powerful people before. I mean, Peter, the chief guy around Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Where are the young children that want to see the Lord? The Lord is tired, he's sleeping, all right? Okay, come tomorrow. Who brought an offering? Bring it on his side. That was, suddenly, it was a non-entity. Hey, look, you know, something happened to some guy recently, you know. These days, there are churches, especially companies, because they are building very large organizations. Look, there's nothing wrong with, well, sorry, I don't know whether there's something wrong with it. It may be wrong, it may be good, I don't know. But I always tell young men who are called to be ministers, who are lining themselves up inside there, be careful, be sure God really called you. Because, you see, ministry is a very dangerous thing. Let me just explain this. Indeed, very dangerous. Because if you get sacked, your CV does not count anywhere. Did you hear what I said? If you are pastored for one, maybe Church of God Mission, Redeem, one of these big organizations, are halfway through, they fire you. You cannot look for a job with that certificate. I hope you know that. Write your CV. Say, I was regional pastor for 15 years. You're get away. You're looking for serious work. What am I doing? That is why most people that leave one denomination or that start their own church. It pains my heart because sometimes, you see, the man is not called by God to start a church, but he has no other job to do. If they ask my opinion, I will ask them, come, what were you doing before you joined this thing? They say, I was a teacher. Go and apply for a job in university. God will show you mercy. They will take you back. Anyway, that's digression. Because, listen, there are things that when they happen, you have built your life on it. And then let me just get back to my main thoughts of, so I don't get carried away. Anyway, so you can imagine why this happened to these people. So you can imagine the shock in their hearts when things really went like this. But at the end, that was what God needed to be able to teach them a lesson. When Jesus now met them on the way, they said, what happened? He said, we don't believe things like that can ever happen. But it happened, so now we believe it. He said, listen to them, verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, let me ask you, did they have Moses and the prophets before he died? Yes. Could he have explained it to them? Did he know it? Yes, he did. He knew some. When Moses and Elijah appeared to him, explained more to him. He had plenty of understanding and revelation concerning what happened in Jerusalem. But the people did not know it. And he couldn't teach them because they couldn't hear it. But while they were watching, they saw things that happened. Then he now picked up. He said, remember that Isaiah said that he was led as a sheep before the shearers and did not open his mouth. He said, that's the sacrifice of God now. Hey, is that so? Remember that Moses said you will take a lamb a year old without blemish as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He said, yeah, remember you said the man never did anything wrong. It is not necessary that he didn't do anything wrong, yet he would die for the sins of mankind. They say, look. John, that was what he was saying that time. You remember? Me too, I wonder. Nobody if he carry him, if not be so condition make a fridge bend for back. Normally, they couldn't try it. He said, yes, they couldn't try it. But he laid down his life like a lamb. Oh boy, what you are saying is making sense. Then they began to understand the things he could have taught them. But because they were human beings, and listen to me, you are not more righteous than them. What am I saying? Until you pass through certain experiences, God cannot reprogram your heart in certain ways. Listen, I'm bringing this message to get something across to you. One day you will suffer the loss of something so that God can get a point across to you. My message is at that point, don't lose heart. Just watch out for resurrection. Look, there are things you will bank on. God will be trying to talk, but you see, your faith in your own eye is so heavy. I don't want to say, because I don't want to interrupt our recording, and there are things I don't like putting on tapes. The experiences that people have had while they are walking by faith, you know, when I went to school, the word of faith was in vogue, and a lot of people did some very stupid and arrogant things because they said they were walking by faith. And God used their experiences to teach everybody else a lesson that faith does not work like that. I'm being honest with you. Because God will have been trying to speak. Listen, when I see young girls who go to church now, wear pattern to church and say they are wearing skirt, look, I just look at them and I just laugh. May God not teach you the bad way that this is a harlot's attire. Look, there's what the Bible calls the attire of a harlot. People say, righteousness is in my heart. You are very stupid. Why don't you say that sanity is in your heart? Walk on the road naked. You say, sanity is in my heart. Then walk on the road naked. Go to work. What everybody won't miss for you. How do you identify a madman on the road? Is it not because his hair is unkempt, he's wearing rags, he doesn't have a bath, and he's sleeping amongst rubble? Why didn't you say madness is in the heart? You should go to the office. Look, I'm being honest. Look, this is a fact. This is a fact. Listen, righteousness is on the heart. That is true, but always reflects outside. And that was why James was writing that was Abraham not justified by his works? He said it was his faith. He said his works cooperated with his faith, and then he was declared righteous. Are you getting the point I am making? I hear all kinds of funny things that Christians just talk, and I say, look, it's not their fault, my children. They will grow up one day. There are many things like that we hold on to. We think it is faith, and God will have to teach us one day, this doesn't work like that. And he's been saying it and saying it doesn't work. Then you pass through certain experiences, your eyes will open. Let me tell you something about Jacob. Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite teachers, said something that for Jacob to receive his inheritance from God, it was not necessary for him to suffer the way he did. He said, but for that Jacob to receive that inheritance, he had to suffer. Do you understand what he's trying to say? That inheritance, no, this was what he said, that inheritance was not tied to that suffering. No, Jacob suffered. May you not see the suffering of Jacob. 20 years he was laboring, running up and down. But was it necessary to receive the inheritance? No. But for Jacob to receive that inheritance, he had to suffer. Why? Because there are times you have to learn obedience from those things that you suffer. Listen, Daniel chapter 4. Okay, I think we should open to it earlier. We just didn't get there before I took off in another direction. There is something that God told Nebuchadnezzar, and I want us to examine it. It will help us in these things that we have been learning. Now, again, for our time's sake, I believe most of us know the story. But I want you to see what God told Nebuchadnezzar. He said, this is the interpretation Daniel was speaking, verse 24, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over you, until, everybody say until. He said, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Notice this. God did not desire for Nebuchadnezzar to stop being king, but his kingdom cannot endure or could not endure if he did not understand who was king in reality. Do you understand the point I'm making? You see, because you see, the state of his heart, like I said, is what will determine what will happen in his kingdom. And God desired for this man to remain king over Babylon. So he told him, in the state of heart you have currently, listen, you cannot remain king. So to prevent you from entering into worse trouble, I have to give you a small one now. But this is the point. God was teaching Nebuchadnezzar one lesson. It says 7 periods of time will pass over you while you are in the bush. Now, 7 periods, I just realized I didn't say 7 years. You understand? So I don't know what that periods of time mean. But you see, this is the way life is. You have to learn lessons and you go through classes. If you are in university and you're supposed to study one course, maybe bio 125, which is a prerequisite for 225. If you don't pass 125, you will never take 225. So a period of time must pass while you pass 125. Do you follow the point I am making before you go to the next level? This man had to go through a series of training to come to one end to get a certificate that he has recognized indeed that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men, and he bestows the kingdoms of men unto whomsoever he wishes. Now, for him to understand that, he had to go through certain experiences. You follow what I'm saying? God will allow to tell him. In fact, you will notice something. I just noticed that while I was reading, read it if you can, but I'm trying to rush now for time's sake. After Daniel interpreted this, he said, verse 27, "Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity." Listen, I believe one thing very sure there, that judgment will have been instant, except that Daniel gave him that advice, and he heeded that advice for 12 months. Read the next slide. Now, that's an assumption on my part, but I think I have a reason. He said 12 months later, verse 29, if you have a New Living Translation, he will tell you about a year later. That is, this thing actually happened, but the occurrence of it was delayed by a year. While reading it, it crossed my heart that maybe it is because he heeded the advice of Daniel. And remember, the Bible says he that gives to the poor honors his maker. So this man showing mercy to the poor was honoring the maker of the poor, recognizing that God is indeed judge over me. And for 12 months he did that, 12 months judgment did not come. Then suddenly he forgot. You know, it tends to happen. You forget the things that happened. And that's why God will tell them, thou shalt remember. You have to make a conscious effort to remember. But he forgot. So he came out and said, is this not Babylon the great that I have built with the power of my arms for the glory of my majesty? You know, he said it. And the moment he said it, the decree of the watchers were released upon his head. And that thing happened. But then, it was for 7 periods of time, until he would by experience learn what he could have learned by words. Do you understand the point I'm make? After 7 years, like I always say, the greatest thing there was that he became sane again and said, my God, what happened? But the greatest miracle was that his kingdom was assured him. Think about military regime in Nigeria. If head of state disappears for 1 month, you know, he won't come back. How much more in Babylon? 7 periods of time. I don't know how long that was. But again, this is how God does it. Every time you come through a trial, he will always restore you back what? Double. If you remember, if you look at Nebuchadnezzar, what happened was that, let me just read the last part of verse 36. He says, so I was reestablishing my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. If you read it from the New Living Translation, let me quickly, I'm trying to save time. That's Daniel chapter 4, verse 36, New Living Translation. He said, when my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and officers sought me out, and I was reestablished as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Do you get the point I'm making there? And this is one thing I want you to understand. God will take you through instructions. Number one, there are things you will not learn even by the tightest of instructions. You will have to learn by experience. And remember, there are many things the heart of the king needs to have to be able to be established in the kingdom of prosperity, in the kingdom of wealth. As you are growing up in life, listen, you know, I always tell people, when you start leave school and start working as a young person, don't start looking for money. Just try and arrange your life. Most importantly, buy books. Don't acquire material things for the first few years. It's not necessary. You don't owe anybody anything. Buy books, attend seminars, pray. Let God show you which direction your life should take. Now, because at that time, you'll be going through things. And like I always say, Jeremiah said, it is better for a young man to bear his burdens in the days of his youth. What it means is that let him bear his suffering. When I say burden and not carry load, no. What it means is, when there are difficult times, endure it while you are young. The wrong time to be a poor man is when you are in your late middle age and you are an elderly man. If you have to suffer for the first 10, 15 years of life as a young person, please enjoy it. As long as you have your path, your eyes set on prosperity, knowing that one day God will break forth upon you heavily. Listen, you will take decisions. Listen, God is very kind. If you have a genuine heart for God, no matter how bad the heart is, like Pastor Paul said yesterday, God will not leave you alone until you have learned everything. That was what happened to Jacob. God kept on, in fact, at a point in time, God said, this guy is too stubborn. He broke his leg just to weaken him. But then, God's purpose is eventually you must get there, because the man had an attraction for God's inheritance. You understand my point? So God passed him through many things. That's why there are things you are going after. You will pursue the thing and you won't get it, just so that God can tell you don't need it. Do you follow my point? There was a day I had one little experience. Just as a young man, I was a house officer, and I didn't have much money, but the little money I had, I was wasting on some material things. So one day, a thief broke the door of the car that I kept my things and took everything. And I knew that, in fact, at the end, I just learned one simple scripture just came back to my heart. It says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Same, oh, look, I was cured very early. Very early. Very early. I'm serious. Very, very early. So that for the next, that was 1992. I finished school in 91. For the next 8 years, I didn't have a car. It didn't bother me. I see people sleep, working three jobs. Why? I say, I want to buy a car. I always laugh. I say, thief can steal it. That's just my mind. It didn't used to worry me. There was one lady who went out for a seminar once. He said, Pastor Banky, why come you don't have a car? My mind, are you stupid? I don't have money. That is why. What is wrong with this one? How can you be asking why a man doesn't have a car? It's not money he doesn't have. No, is it not clear? Like my pastor in Lagos used to say, he said, if somebody asks you that kind of question, tell them that cars kill people. That's why you don't have one. He said, it's a foolish answer, so you give a snappy. He said, it's a foolish question, so you give a snappy answer. But all, God is my witness, I wasn't bothered. And I told my mother one thing once. I said, if God will give me a car, if I park it on the road, wind the glasses down, and don't lock it, the thief will never be able to carry it. And I meant it. As if God was going to prove it. The first car I ever had was a Mercedes-Benz. The night I brought it home, I forgot to lock the doors. And there was no security in it, nothing. I said, go ahead, so let me show you what that thing you said that time. Listen, God, I'm just saying this. Don't be disappointed. It's not as if the words that you're hearing are not working. But there are things that God will cause you to learn. And until the final time, when you will have learned everything, your prosperity will not come. That's why one day I got to understand this thing. You see, when we talk about due season is not a number of years. It's the rapidity. Sorry, it's in the accumulation of lessons you have learned from God that has caused your heart to be changed to the proper place where he wanted it to be. That was why Solomon was very young, but he could be king. If that young boy had not learned his lesson up to that time, listen to me, what will happen is that his father will have lived longer for his sake. If you go and read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, he keeps on telling you, my father used to say, this used to happen. After David made mistakes with the other sons, with Solomon, from his youth, he was teaching him wisdom. So that by the time the boy was, it was about 17, thereabout, he was ready to become king. I told the story of Demos Shakaran. His wife married him when she was 16 and he was 20. I have explained to you before, that is why people here marry late. It's a matter of spiritual immaturity. If you see those men, those Americans you read about, them Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne, Lester Sumrall, what's the name of this young, this other man, Maurice Cerullo. Those guys married very young. Some of them teenagers, they're 23 maximum. They're married. Why? Because they had already attained in their mind spiritual maturity. They didn't realize it. It just happened. You understand? Demos Shakane will tell you that his wife was 15 while she was taking care of their whole house. Taking care of her father, her mother, everybody. Ed Cole said, maturity does not come with age, but it comes with the acceptance of responsibility. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, what God is waiting for from you is for you to learn. Period. By learning is carrying your heart to the place of prosperity. That's why, please don't waste time. In fact, may God frustrate your efforts that will take you away from his plan for your life. That's the prayer I have for you. that if you invest all your life savings, may it collapse one day if the product of that thing would not have moved you closer to God and made it happen fast. That's actually the main thing. They said, I heard a story once about one young man. He was about 24. He made $1 million. After a few days, I think by the time he was 24, he had lost everything he made. So one day he wanted to commit suicide by jumping into the river. So on the shore, he now saw one old man. He said, what happened? He told the man, all the money I made, I just lost it. The man said, how old are you? He said, 24. The man said, this is unfair. Life is so unfair that I learned this lesson at 40. How come you are learning so early in life that this is unfair? This precious lesson of life, you are learning it so early. Okay, by then the man was telling the story, he was very rich at that time again. That is 24-year-old man had now become very rich. But the man had just learned a lesson. Well, there are many things that he learned. But most importantly is that this money can fly away. Do you get me? The same thing happened to this guy. I gave you a story. What's his name now? Paul Getty. He made money as a young man. He said, yes, I've made money. He said to start enjoying life. Of course, the money finished. But again, he learned it very early. So he realized that you don't make money and stop working. You make money and keep on working and keep working. One day he bought newspaper, and the newspaper they told him he was the richest man on earth. He did not even know. What's my message to you today? Listen, your emphasis must be on learning so that God can tune your heart. There are things you can't learn no matter how much you try. God will pass you through experiences. My pastor Liga said something once, very funny. He said, talk to one lady, looked at the lady, and you were making her, looked at her and said, maybe you need a man to break your heart, then you will grow up. That is what you are talking. Obviously, you don't know anything about life. He said, maybe you should get engaged, then the man should disappoint you. Then you stop talking this kind of nonsense. He didn't give details, but the point is that there are things you learn. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, listen, there are things you didn't, in fact, most of the evil things that will happen to you, you wouldn't plan for it. Are you a crazy person to plan for evil? So if you say, but this is not what I asked from God, that is why God disappointed you, so that you will understand that certain things that you will ask from God will not come, and certain things that God will want to come will come despite the fact that he did not ask for it. I mean, come on, there are many lessons you learn in life. So they need to teach us those things, that if you have enough faith, God does not ever say no. I grew up knowing, it's as if God said, you. I will never answer any of your prayers just to show you that I can say no. Everything we ask God for, just God will just refuse. Ask for granite. That day, granite will finish. There are some doctrines that I learned, initiated by an experience which was divinely orchestrated. Despite experiences, you don't build doctrine on experiences. Let me get this clear. Okay? But it helps you to understand the word of God. It helps you to stand boldly and see what God, and understand what God has said. It helps you to stand boldly and declare what you have seen written. Because, like Peter will say, what our eyes have seen, and our ears heard, and our hands handled concerning the word of life, that's what we are declaring to you. Do you follow my point? I like what the Maurice Cerullo used to say. He said, talking about working in power with God, he said, you need an experience. After that first experience, you will never doubt God again on certain issues. Don't let me see, I don't want to teach too much because of time, but see, what I wanted to get is this. As you are choosing the path of excellence, all right, a number of things will happen. You will keep learning by instruction. One day, something will happen that you will not understand and you will not like. Let me tell you what to do. You go back to the scriptures and go and see what God has to say about your experience. He said there are two things prophesied about Jesus in the Bible. He said there are the sufferings of Christ. Go and read what Peter said. First Peter. And the glories to follow. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are the sufferings of Christ and there are the glories to follow. Listen, there are sufferings that you suffer with Christ still, but if you understand the glories to follow, they will definitely come your way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are many ways by which, let me give you one very funny example that God could use to teach you something. Maybe God once says, maybe you just bought a new wristwatch, and as a practical example, so you're going out, and God just tells you that next time you go to church, as the choir is ministering, remove that watch and give it to that lead singer in the choir. Now, you don't understand. You just come as a prompting in your heart. So you look at your watch. Fine watch. Yeah, joking. Get behind me, Satan. So, you leave church, and as you are going on the way, maybe you did Lagos. One day, boy just say, ah, weary, close your head, close out for your face. Remove the watch for your hand, pocket out, waka come out. Listen, a wise person, a foolish Christian, will be angry. A wise person will thank God for the lesson you have just learned. Next time you buy a new car, and that prompting comes again and says, do this with the car. You say, Baba God, before I jam with this car, carry, take with the key. I don't want. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? No, let me tell you the truth. It happens. I've told that thieves, they have their mission with God. No, they do. He has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked, for their role in the day of destruction. God does some strange things like that. Are you following me? But this is what I want you to know. Whenever anything happens, good or bad, always take a lesson from it. Listen, Anna kept on going to the temple year by year until the day she prayed to God, saying, give me a son and I will give him back to you. God said, finally, at last. Hey, Anna, all these years, you will have just said this 15 years ago. We will have said this thing since that time. But Anna did not have the ability to say it until the pressure of Penina pushed her to the wall. You know who Penina is? The second wife that was giving birth to children anyhow for Elkanah, their husband. If you blow on Penina, she will deliver twins. Anna, nothing for her. Out of desperation, she prayed. A lot of men of God answered God's call when they were faced with death. Lester Sumrall, a good example. The doctor said, when he dies, let me know so I can sign the death certificate and send it. I'm telling you. He laid on the bed. Then suddenly he saw something, a big Bible on one side. On the other side, a coffin. He said, I choose the Bible. Thank you. Next morning, he woke up. He was well. Get my point? The doctor expected to sign the death certificate first thing in the morning. He met the guy off on his bed. He said, oh boy, I have to go and preach. I'm telling you the truth. Before that, this man said he hated preachers with a passion. Not Christians, preachers. He hated them because he felt they were jobless people who used to come to their house. Because his mother was a Christian. He used to invite ministers to their house. And then there was a preacher's son that did something once. He felt these preacher's children are cowards. They have look. They have no belly. No, he just hated preachers. Because you will choose between preaching and dying now. What I want you to know is this. Experiences, you must learn a lesson. You must learn a lesson. But the lesson, of course, is founded upon God's word. You don't interpret experiences except by the word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And when you have added one thing to another, and you keep learning, and God is teaching you, like I said, reordering your heart to become exactly like He wants it to be, then you don't have to pray. Abundance will come. Like you reminded me last time, I talked about the vow of poverty. One of the things you have to learn is that none of the things that God gave to you is yours. That's what Nebuchadnezzar learned. That's actually the vow of poverty. That is, I have taken this poverty, this vow, that I will never call anything my own on this earth. I told you before, pride is a matter of ignorance. That is, I've seen people talk before. You feel like, after all, I'm a university graduate, I'm a millionaire, I'm this, I'm that. I have two men were calling my office once. They came to report themselves to me. So one spoke, the other one said, why are you talking? Do you have more children than I have? Do you have more? I tried to restrain myself from laughing. Look at these two old men deceiving themselves in front of me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is pride. You think you have something that gives you power to talk. No, God said you have to understand that the only reason why you talk is that I give you a voice. If I don't give you a voice, you will be mute. You'll be like a Malu. You won't be able to say anything. So every day, I told you before, when I see people complain, Nigeria is bad. I will look at my room, lie on the floor, and say, God, this room is big. Oh, thank you very much. It's true. I come out, nobody to Kumboka with the drive, fine, but at least I have one to drive. So I start it. Sure, it starts every morning. They almost never disappoint. Is that not good? Cause to give God thanks. There are those that have not seen third road. I mean, those are attitudes you need to get across to your heart. Because if you don't get it in peace, you will get it by force. There is one thing somebody, Oswald Chambers said. He said, you have to come to that point willingly. or be dragged there by the providential tyranny of God. That God, you know, they say God is a gentleman. You are joking. He's a gentleman to those he doesn't have time for. That is, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone.